Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Governor Lamont, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chaz. Good morning, AJ.
Morning.
Hey, we appreciate you coming on. We wish it was under better circumstances. So the president said they predict the country's death peak will be in about 2 weeks. Do we have an estimated date for Connecticut when we think we'll peak out?
Certainly, I think that April is going to be a horrible month. That's based upon what we saw overseas in Italy, where it's maybe slowly beginning to recede. A little bit of Seattle, Washington, those places that were, a month or a couple of weeks ahead of us. That's really the best indicator we've got. We're also obviously looking at the trend lines here in the state where we continue to accelerate.
In a best case, worst case scenario, let's go worst case scenario. How many beds do you, hospital beds do you think we'll need? And are we ready for that?
The good news is that, we still have capacity. We're not yet at capacity in Fairfield County, but it's getting close. We have a good capacity around the rest of the state. Fortunately, we've had a little time to plan, and we've increased, the number of ICU beds, the number of, other capacity by about 50%, just by getting rid of the elective surgeries, putting off anything non-urgent, getting volunteers back on the battlefield. Had 2,000 plus nurses that thought they were going to enjoy a happy retirement, coming back into the game and helping us. It's amazing.
Bridgeport Mayor Ganim was on yesterday and said that the Webster Bank Arena would open up as a with some beds in it to act as relief for Bridgeport Hospital. He said that would open today. Is that still opening today?
I don't know about Webster Bank in particular. I do know that we've got Stanford, Southern State. We've got CCSU. We have a variety of other facilities we've got or we're looking at probably up here at the convention center in Hartford. What these are A, beds for folks who are in recovery or intermediate care. So the ICU beds could be for those who are most COVID afflicted. And if they have hotel space nearby, it's also a possibility that nurses and doctors can stay. For example, in Southern, they'll be able to stay at the dormitory and then be able to get back to work. So they don't necessarily have to go home. For this 30, 60-day push, we've got them located.
In your in a press release issued by your office yesterday, it lists Webster Bank Arena as one of these locations. Do you know when that might open, or is that still happening?
I believe it is still happening. We're sorting through all these possible locations with the Army Corps of Engineers. I just mentioned the three that I know are ready for construction now. I'll have to get back to you specifically regarding Webster Bank.
Gotcha.
I know you toured a ventilator factory in Guilford and ordered 100 ventilators. Are you happy with the number that we have in the state? How many do we have, and how many do you think we'll need in the peak?
We are desperately short, and it's just amazing that we have a ventilator manufacturer here in the state. We got down there early. They've only got the capacity to do, say, 50 a day. So we're getting a lot of those. We can't get all of them, but we're trying to help them ramp up. We're getting them manpower. We're getting them affiliated with another company, or they're doing this themselves. So there's a chance they can go from 50 to 500. Over the next few weeks, if they can get the parts. Because just, the feds have come to the table and are much more helpful today than, say, a month or two ago. But at the last moment, you'll find you've got your order from them sitting on the tarmac in JFK Airport, and then it's rerouted. Cool. You're put on back order.
To a different hotspot?
One of the things I've tried to point out to them is, Southern Fairfield County is part of the New York pandemic.
Right, it's a hotspot.
I just read that today that we are fourth most per capita infections in the country, our state.
And with that in mind, will we be tightening the social distancing rules, maybe closing parks, golf courses, adjust the list of non-essential workers? One of the things that we've heard on the show from various local leaders of both parties is they would like more consistency.
Look, we've been very consistent, obviously, in schools, bars, restaurants, social distancing down to 5 people. I've been a little reluctant to close our big parks because it's one of the few outlets that people have. And if they, you know, stay 6 feet apart, it's a relief. I take a walk with Annie in the late afternoon. I do worry about going by the basketball hoops where I'll see, you know, sometimes 15 kids having a game. And so I think we've got to be a lot stricter in some of these places where people tend to congregate. And I tell these folks, look, perhaps you're not at a mortal risk, but the people you interface with, your parents, your grandparents, you can carry this infection. It's still very dangerous what you're doing.
Well, that's an excellent point. I want to play you a clip from a visiting nurse we had on. It's from a 4-minute call, but here's a 15-second clip.
People really need to take this seriously. People out there, and every time someone goes and plays basketball or takes some trip they don't need, you're putting everyone at risk.
Do you think that we might be entering a time where we have to relook at having some of these parks open or having golf courses open or maybe the list of non-essential workers increases?
But we're definitely at a point where you've got to stay home. And if you're and probably we've got to take a look at what is an essential worker and continue to tighten that up in terms of any possible confusion.
Right.
I will tell you that your nurses, our cops, our firemen, our Army Corps and our Connecticut Guard, they're amazing. They are on the front lines. And that's why I am desperate for this PPE, because of these people are heroes in such a tough situation. We don't have all the protection that they deserve.
Now, speaking of the police and fire, we're on the phone with Governor Lamont. Is there a backup plan to fill those positions should we need to, if we have a large number of them come down with the virus?
Well, like we're doing with the nurses, I can tell you that we've got to search out for anybody who's left the Corps, wants to come back, maybe accelerate some of the cadets and help them be there in a backup role. Folks who have just recently retired, doing everything you can, as you point out, Jazz, to make sure we have a backup Corps in place, because more and more of these folks may end up off the battlefield self-quarantining. And I'm afraid these are the public-facing people. They are essential workers. You know, I need them.
Yeah. I had probably 4 or 5 tribe members send me pictures of ambulances leaving Connecticut, heading into New York. Were those ours from AMR? Were they Connecticut ambulances heading into New York? Do you know?
I don't. I do not know what that would be. I mean, we coordinate closely with New York, but obviously their hospitals are for New Yorkers and our hospitals are for Connecticut. But I coordinate very closely with Governor Cuomo because we're part of the same pandemic.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you feel about New Yorkers coming over here?
Hey, I feel like we're at capacity right now. And my first priority is Connecticut.
Right.
I think the New Yorkers ought to be staying at home. I think the Connecticut people stay at home. And if you absolutely have to cross the border for some emergency reason, it's really important that you self-diagnose and you self-quarantine. You know, this virus is just traveling across border at warp speed.
Is there some kind of a standing order from your office that if you come here from New York, you have to stay in place for 2 weeks?
Yes.
So there
yeah,
is.
We have said if you come across and you're up here, you have to self-diagnose and you have to self-quarantine. Between you and me, Chaz, it's not something that's very easy to enforce, but
right.
We've been very strict in terms of what we want people to do.
Right. The problem is your office and everyone's asking people to do the right thing, and not everybody does the right thing immediately.
Yeah.
How do you police that? Now, what Rhode Island is doing, have you seen that, and what do you think of that?
Gina Raimondo has one highway leading into Rhode Island, I-95. There's a bridge. So she has been strict in terms of telling anybody with New York plates and any out-of-state plates, you must self-quarantine. Now, I have, you know, hundreds of ways to get in and out of Connecticut, but we've tried to send that message a very different way. I'll give you a little good news, though. I mean, I was talking to Cuomo. How about Metro North? Let's face it, that's a contagion factor. People going back and forth, New York to Fairfield County.
Yeah.
It is 95% empty. You know, our roads, as you can see, are very empty. I don't know what you do with your traffic reports now.
Yeah, they're quiet. Yeah, very
nothing
quiet.
Nothing on the road.
Yeah.
But there are some groups, especially younger groups, that have got to be really strict in terms of them taking this seriously.
You recorded a promo over the weekend, a public service announcement looking for volunteers. Are there any specific type of volunteers you're looking for? Any types of skills?
Well, that promo was specific to healthcare workers and folks who can help out in their healthcare system. And they can be anything from helping deliveries in and around the hospital to retired nurses and the such. And like I said, we doubled the number of people who have volunteered. But to your bigger point, we're thinking of broadening this. I mean, I need home delivery. If I'm telling seniors to stay at home,
right.
I need people who can step up and what they call down a Waterbury, knock and drop the meal off, drop the pharma off at their front step and then step back. Seniors have got to be at home. 65 and over, you are at home.
Governor, have you been taking precautions? I mean, you're the governor. You have to go out. You have to tour factories. You have to shake hands. What have you been doing?
I've scaled that back a lot. I am here at the residence in Hartford, 90%+ of the time. I do a briefing every day. As you point out, occasionally I'll go down like I did yesterday to Guilford to the ventilator manufacturer. They're going around the clock just to show the flag and thank people for what they're doing. They're saving lives. My God, a ventilator. It's like having a 500-pound person sitting on your chest if you have COVID-19 without a ventilator.
Yeah.
Have you been tested?
I have not been tested as yet.
Okay, so you're going to...
I'm telling people, look, if you don't show symptoms, save the test for those really in need.
Right.
But I'm thinking about it.
Are there any big, bold moves being discussed for Connecticut now? Like, in other words, tightening the self-quarantine or tightening the... what the non-essential or essential employees are.
I'm certainly looking at essential employees. I'm looking to do more ways to keep people at home, at least for this 30-day period. You probably heard the president was musing out loud, thinking about, a mandatory quarantine or a shutdown of the greater New York area. And we just tried to say a lot of that is already happening. And, with your urging and the transit advisory, we're going to be even stricter about enforcing that.
Will you be discussing or doing more to help small businesses in Connecticut? I know you had the bridge loans, and that hit capacity quickly, and I think you did a second round. Will there be more to help small businesses?
I'm sure the answer to that is yes, but small businesses have got to know what we've got going right now. You know, our team has put in place the short-term loan, which doesn't have to be paid back for 18 months, just as a bridge to the federal grant program. And what's really good about that federal grant program is it will pay all of your operating expenses. That includes all your employee costs, not to mention rent, health care, for a period of 4 months. And if you hold everybody in place, you don't have to pay that back. And why that's important is that this is not your garden variety recession. This is a healthcare stoppage. So when this thing stops and we get on the backside of COVID, I hope our economy is going to come back very strong. I want these businesses staying intact so they can come back with us.
So I'm getting a text about those ambulances. Someone said that New York City outbid Connecticut for AMR emergency services in Fairfield County. Does that sound right?
I don't know anything about that, but I will tell you there's a bidding war out there. It's just crazy that when we're going for PPE and ventilators, people are bidding, one after the other. And that, like I said, sometimes the shipments are rerouted at the last moment. And also we're bidding against the federal government, which comes swoops in with an even bigger bid.
Right.
That is obviously driving up prices and creating just incredibly erratic supply. I love that the feds took the lead on this and allocated based on need.
Is it possible that AMR is sending ambulances to New York after Connecticut lost a bid to keep them here? Who would know that? Do you think?
I will look into that, and we'll get back to you on that, Chaz. I just don't know the answer to that.
Gotcha. All right, Governor, I know your time's valuable. Listen, we've had our disagreements in the past, but we're rooting for you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for getting good information out. I know you're doing that every day. We've got to kill these rumors and then kill this virus.
This hotline is available to you anytime, Governor. Please use the show as one of your weapons.
We'll be back. Thanks again.
All right, thank you, Governor Lamont.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.